Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us This Week in America, coast to coast. Storm Rider, a historical novel based on true events by Gordon L. Box Bakker, chronicles the Vietnam War and its effect upon the individuals who fought in the war and those who chose not to serve, a firsthand account of what it was like to enter manhood in the shadow of this unpopular war. Gordon served 11 and a half years in the Air Force, flew 177 combat sorties as a fire control officer aboard the AC-130A gunship. A rescue navigator, he participated in the abortive attempt to rescue 53 hostages held in Iran in 1980. Throughout his service, Gordon was awarded 2 Distinguished Flying Cross Medals, 8 Air Medals, the Purple Heart, the Conspicuous Service Award from Governor Mario Cuomo, New York, and 2 nominations for the Silver Star. His personal story was chronicled in 2 front-page stories in Newsday, People Magazine, The Colorado Star, and the Veterans of Foreign Wars Magazine. Gordon also worked as an air traffic control specialist for 27 years. Gordon L. Box Bakker, author of Storm Rider, a historical novel based on true events, is our guest on This Week in America. Gordon, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here, sir.
Excellent job with the book and so much to talk about during the course of the program. Let's start with the decision you made. What prompted you to write this book, Storm Rider? What was it that made you decide, I really need to sit down and write this book and tell this story?
Well, when my son Josh was growing up, I would tell him stories about my life from time to time. And as he got older, he said, Dad, you live such an interesting life. You should write about it. And I thought about it, and I wanted to do it, but I couldn't start the project until I fully retired from air traffic control in 2008. It took me 12 years to write the book, and I have to tell you, Rick, I really, really am sorry that I missed some of those lessons in high school and my college years, learning how to do read and write English. That's how I got started with it. It took me 12 years to write this book.
That's amazing. And the book is Storm Rider, a historical novel based on true events. The author, our guest, Gordon L. Box Bakker. That's B-O-C-H-E-R, if you're Googling. You'll find the book at Amazon. I'll send you to Gordon's website, which is stormrider11g.com. We'll give you that throughout the program. It's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So much more information there. I mentioned this is a historical novel based on true events. How much of the book is fiction? How much of the book is actual history?
About 90% of the book is actual history. In fact, in the foreword of the book, I mentioned that everything involving the military, air traffic control, was exactly how it happened. And the people whose names are italicized when you meet them in the book, you get my best description of them and how they acted. So it's 90% actual history. The only reason I made this fiction were twofold. I had to change some of the characters in the book so not to expose their personal lives who are not directly involved. And I didn't want to bring their problems into the book. And the other part is in the book, when you get to my last active duty mission, you get a full, complete briefing from General James A. Hill, which was a classified briefing, and you will find out what happened in the Iranian desert on April 25th, 1980. So those are the two reasons that it's listed as historical fiction.
There is so much at the website, obviously information on the book, but a section, My Journey, there's an essay there. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the conversation, but so much at Gordon's website, stormrider11g.com. Book at Amazon, of course, readersmagnet.com, and all this listed on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Gordon, you enlisted in the United States Air Force January 2nd, 1968. You didn't fly a combat until February of 1972 through February of 1973. Why did you have to wait 4 years for combat?
Well, I joined in January 1968, and I went to officer training school. From there, I went to pilot training, and I was there for about 4, 5, 6 months, whatever. And I washed out because my air work wasn't good. So in September of 1968, the Air Force sent me to Mather Air Force Base to undergraduate navigator training, and that took a year. when I got out of, I got my Silver Navigator wings, my first duty assignment was the AC-119 gunship. And that took 3 months to complete all the training that you have to do before you go overseas. And during that time, I was diagnosed with both follicular and medullary cancer of the thyroid. December 22nd, 1969, I underwent a radical neck operation and several other operations. And about 3.5 months later, in April 1970, I was let out of the Air Force with 100% disability and an honorable discharge because I had the cancer. I spent the next 18 months rehabbing my body. And during that time, some of my friends told me that there was a rumor going around that the Air Force was accepting rated officers who had cancer if they could pass a Class 2 physical. So I called down to Randolph Air Force Base, and I spoke to a full colonel doctor who told me that the rumors were true, and he sent me some paperwork. I filled it out, and you know how slow a bureaucracy like the Air Force is. And so it took them another 6-7 months to accept me. And during that time, I took a trip to Paris, and I told the colonel that if the Air Force wanted me to get in touch with my parents, and they would send a message through American Express office that I had to come home. In August of 1971, I got that message, returned back to the States, took my physical at McGuire Air Force Base, and on November 10th, 1971, I came back into the Air Force as a fully rated navigator, spent 3 months in the ground schools there and flying to get qualified in the AC-130 gunship, and I shipped over and started flying combat in February 1972.
You know, that's one amazing part of your story. You had, 100% disability. You gave that up to go back. Talk about the thought process of doing that. You had an opportunity to walk away from this, yet you felt committed to go back and to fly and be a participant in the war. What was the thought process that you went through?
In my life, I've become, not through regular study, but through my own personal wanting to learn about the history of this country, I became really involved with it. And it started to really crystallize for me that this is the only country in the world, in the history of the world, whose start basis of existence was the fact that your rights come from the Almighty, not from the state, but the Almighty. That's in our Declaration of Independence. The Constitution was written so that those rights would be protected by the Bill of Rights and limited, supposedly limited, the scope of government. That's worth defending. In the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln asked the rhetorical question, how a country so conceived long endure. And it endures because people who recognize the genius of the country risk their lives to defend it. I couldn't live with myself receiving the training I received from the Air Force and in particular the AC-130 gunship. Its whole raison d'etre was to protect the guy on the ground. I couldn't live with myself without going there and taking the risk that others took. So I gave up 100% disability, joined the Air Force, and I have no regrets doing it.
All of this and so much more in the book Storm Rider, a historical novel based on true events by our guest Gordon L. Box Bocher. That's B-O-C-H-E-R. Gordon's website, stormrider11g.com. He's got his journey there, so you can follow and go through all of this. I imagine part of the reason you wrote the book, as I mentioned in the beginning, was to relate with fighting the last year of this very unpopular war was like. Address that and maybe other objectives you want to have the reader take away from reading Storm Rider.
That was the obvious one.
Yes.
There's so much misinformation on the Vietnam, especially the last couple of years. It is mind-boggling. That 10-part series in Vietnam done by NPR, the first 8 were good, the last 2 were pure fiction. And I know because I was there. So I didn't want to correct the record. But the other part, and this is as equally important to me, was trying to describe what that war did to the people, particularly the male population at that time, growing up, becoming from an adolescent to a man, facing a draft in an unpopular war. Most of your listeners now probably don't even know what a draft is because it hasn't existed for 45 years.
Yes.
But there are three main characters in the book. There are three college roommates, and one of them can't fight because he is physically unable. He is 4F all the way because of visual problems. The other two grew up with identical backgrounds in the same environment with families that resembled each other. And one chose to fight and one chose not to. And the book, as it unwinds and you go through their lives, you realize the cost to fight the war and the cost of those men who decided not to fight and avoid the draft and do whatever it took not to fight. And there was a cost there also. And that's what the book explores. And that's one of the things I really wanted to get across.
And at the website as well, you will see an essay there that written by Gordon where he's explaining what actually happened. The end of the war, he had all of that there, and it's all in the essay. We won't be able to touch on everything today, but it really gives you a different perspective. In fact, talking about perspectives, you really had a unique perspective, didn't you? Your aircraft covered virtually all of the areas of combat throughout Southeast Asia, so you really had a view from the air of troop movements. You had a very visual opportunity to see exactly what was happening in the maneuvers of the war. And we'll touch on that in a second. Maybe that'll come into this. I want to ask you about the combat mission. What stands out most in your mind? And then let's talk about this perspective you had, because you really saw more than most people did.
Yeah, that's fine. My favorite combat mission occurred in the middle of April 1972. It was the rainy season. And it was also during the heart of the North Vietnamese Spring Offensive. The enemy's goal was to take over the city of Dan Lok. They were going to declare that the capital of the People's Republic of South Vietnam and try and embarrass President Nixon. Defending that city were three United States Army Rangers and 600 Vietnamese Rangers. Their foe, the North Vietnamese Army, greatly outnumbered them and had better and more firepower. The defense of these men fell to the 16th Special Operations Squadron, and in particular the AC-130 gunships that we flew. On this particular night, the weather was really bad, and as a result, the North Vietnamese forces made a hard push to rid the city of its defenders. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning when my crew responded to a distress call from Zippo 11, a U.S. Army Ranger who was leading 200 South Vietnamese Rangers and was about to be overrun by the enemy. We overflew his position, and the weather was so bad that it was hard to get any kind of visual reference. We had two main sensors, the infrared and the low light TV, and both were made basically inoperative because of the weather. However, there was a small hole right over where Zippo 11 was located. And I could see that hut about every fourth orbit through the infrared. So we normally, our rules of engagement were very specific. We could not fire to help him unless we had visual acquisition from the infrared or the low light TV. That was not possible that day. And the rules of engagement are legal and binding orders. So we were faced with a conundrum. Can we help Zippo 11? And in order to do so, we had to violate the rules. the ROEs. And that meant risking imprisonment and disaster, for personal disaster for the 14-man yes. crew that made that were aboard that night. I was the fire control officer, crew number one, and arguably the best crew on the base. And I noticed that that particular night, our inertial nav system, the INS, was very, very accurate, unusually so. And I made a suggestion to my pilot, Major Conrad Story, and I said, I want to use the inertial as our primary sensor. That is a violation of the rules. This was Major Story, upon hearing my request, spoke to the entire crew. And I still remember the words that he spoke, and I quote, "If I do not hear any objections in the next 60 seconds, we will follow Focal's suggestion." 60 long seconds passed in silence. Then Major Story told me to proceed. I ordered the INS to place in the main computer as our primary sensor. We obtained the range and bearing data for the enemy positions from Zippo 11. I ordered the information to be placed in the computer. I ordered automatic fire, half mil coincidence, number 3 gun, HE, which is high explosives, and cleared the pilot to open fire. For the next 4 hours, we shot into the night. We never saw a single round hit, but Zippo 11 informed us that every shot found its mark. The sun rose, the clouds cleared, the enemy retreated, and Zippo 11 lived to be another day. And every time I hear the Star Spangled Banner with the bombs bursting in the air, gave proof through the night our flag was still there, I think of Zippo 11. He is my incarnation of the American flag.
And that's what we will do now after hearing that story. It's such a powerful book. It's a must-read. You won't be able to put the book down. Stormrider, a historical novel based on true events by Gordon L. Box Bacher, B-O-C-H-E, our guest on the program. We're doing a video version of this, and you'll find that on YouTube. You'll find it on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, the video selection there. So go there and check out the video. We'll have information and some pictures from the book up there as well. Time is going by so rapidly, so much to talk about. So go buy the book and you'll get all the stories there. And hopefully we'll have Gordon back so we can talk more about this very important topic. This is a historical novel. What unique knowledge will the reader learn from reading Stormrider? Again, what do you hope? You wanted to set the record straight as to what actually what happened. What do you hope we learn?
Okay, and there are three major events that I have witnessed. I'm in a very unusual position. I'm one of 13 fire control officers that was capable of defending ANLOC during the spring offensive of 1972. The H models were down for the first 3 or 4 weeks, and so we had the whole burden fell on us. So I'm one of 13 who did this. I'm also not only a witness to the end of the war, which, like I said before, is so misreported, and it's incredible. When you read that essay that's on my website, you'll understand, or you read the book, you'll understand exactly why. It's too complicated to go into now. The second major event that I witnessed was the debacle in the Iranian desert in 1980. I was part of that mission. I was on standby alert with two choppers to go into the desert for rescue, because I was part of rescue at that point. And it was, we were airplane alert when we got the call to abort. I came back to the States, and about a week or so before I left the service in June 1980, we were visited by General James A. Hill, and you can look him up on Google. He was number 2 in the Air Force. He came to us, and I have never received a briefing from a 4-star general before or after. And he told us what happened in that desert that night and all the problems that occurred with that particular mission. If you ever see the movie Argo and you can't understand all the stop and goes and all the delays and affecting those particular guy, people, hostages in the Canadian embassy. If you want to understand what happened that night, you read my book and you'll get the briefing from General Hill, and it will all make sense. That was a classified briefing, by the way, and the reader gets the entire thing, lock, stock, and barrel.
It may be the only place you get the true story on what happened there. Everybody had questions when that happened, and they weren't being answered. You were there as this was being explained in a classified briefing. So this is the place to get that story. So pick up with number three. Didn't mean to interrupt, but that's so important. It's a valuable piece of history, and the only place we're going to get it is through Gordon's book.
One of the things the general told us is he couldn't stand to take orders from President Carter anymore. So he resigned. He told us he was resigning, but he wanted to go around to every single unit that was part of that mission and explain what happened. And that's why I got the briefing. The third thing I witnessed after I got out of the Air Force, I joined a company that eventually was taken over by people I didn't want to work for. So I looked around for a job, and I got a job with air traffic control. And my first duty assignment was New York Center. And this is right after the strike. And I was working in Section F. And I got to know the air traffic controllers very, very well. I was there for like 9 months. And we talked consistently about the strike. And in my book, you will get not a firsthand account, but you'll get a secondhand account from the people who participated on both ends of that strike. And it is really revealing how that all came about. And so there are three major things that I was privy to doing what I did, and they're all in the book.
What an amazing book, and a story that's told. Stormrider, a historical novel based on true events by Gordon L. Box Bocker, B-O-K-E-R. Boy, time going by so quickly. I want to talk a second, and we'll talk about the new book, The Emma Effect, as well. But what was this like going back when you made the decision to go back and try to, like, tell people, no, what you've heard about the ending of the Vietnam War, the fact it was unwinnable, all of this is just really not right. I'm here to correct the record. You did that, but at what personal cost? How difficult was it for you to go back and to relive those times as you were growing up fighting a war?
It was, when I got it, I had a lot of problems dealing with post-traumatic stress. In fact, I've been seeing psychologists from the VA for almost 40 years now. And I have my life pretty well balanced now, but it was very, very difficult when part of the problem was exacerbated by the fact that the way the Vietnam combat veteran was treated when he got home was horrendous. Just to give you one example, I wanted to pray, thank God, for my safe arrival back to the States. And my first duty assignment was Mather Air Force Base's instructor navigator in Sacramento. And my whole baggage hadn't come yet. So all I had was my uniforms and just some general clothing. So I went to the synagogue dressed in my Class A blues to give thanks to the Almighty. And nobody would talk to me. They just
amazing,
you know, like I didn't exist, and that's just representative of the way we were treated when we came home. So when you break that connection with the person you sent over to fight that war, who's fighting for you, and you break that connection, you exacerbate the PTS and the other psychological problems that the veteran had. No one was as maltreated as the Vietnam vet.
Well, all this and so much more, just remarkable stories told firsthand and told through people who were actually there in Stormrider, a historical novel based on true events by Gordon L. Box Bocker. Want to mention for just a second that we'll talk about the Emma Effect. We hear so much about Agent Orange. You're a victim of Agent Orange. talk about how that manifested itself and how you're doing today.
I started losing my ability to read up close. The muscles in my eye were not responding. And so I went to see an eye doctor. And it took them a while. They went through about three or four different things. And finally, this physician said, you know, you better get an MRI of your head, because I think there may be something more serious there. And it turned out that I have mantle cell lymphoma of the eye socket in both the left and right eye. And the doctor told me that 40 to 45 years after you're exposed to Agent Orange, this manifests itself. And when I told the VA what I had and where I served, I got immediately, within a month or two, I was awarded 100% disability, because they no longer fight what the effects of Agent Orange are. And right now, I'm being treated by an alternative medicine doctor and a regular oncologist who accepts alternative medicine, and I've had some success with it. It's not growing, at least. It's stage four, but it's kind of stable. And so I have a fairly good quality of life, although, you know, I can't do a lot of things I used to do. But I'm very happy for the time I have, and I try to use it as best I can. But I'm very grateful for the time I do have, and I have a really good family. I'm in a really good neighborhood. I'm well-respected, so life is pretty good now.
Well, we wish you continued success in your battle. It sounds like things are going as well as can be expected, and everything is progressing in the right way. And we wish you continued health. It's such a remarkable story that Gordon has in the book Storm Rider. That's one book. The other book is The Emma Effect. Take a minute or so here at the end. This book, totally different. The story of two people that have this relationship. There's all sorts of trauma that's in his background, in his past. Talk about The Emma Effect. Something I know you're very proud of, but totally different than Storm Rider.
I came up with an idea with a man who was suffering from horrible abuse by his college sweetheart and her friend, and leaves the environment, goes someplace where he can't be traced, and tries to recover, you know, his sense of self. And he meets Emma, who is a person of very traditional values and who is very exudes a sense of serenity. She's a very calming person, and she's exactly what he needs. And it's a story about they're getting together and facing some horrendous decisions together that have to be made, and how life sometimes throws you some really bad things that happen to you, and yet you find a way to make them a positive thing. Sometimes you don't know. You think you're going through something really bad, and then it leads to something really, really good. And that's what I found when writing both books. That's one of the lessons I came out of with both books. Was that. And so I wrote The M Effect for that purpose.
The book is receiving literally rave reviews, all 5-star reviews. It touches on so many levels. It's a great story. It's a love story. It's and much more than that. The book available, of course, wherever books are sold. Information on that, I'm going to send you to Gordon's website, StormRider11.com. And 11, just put the the numbers in there, StormRider, R-I-D-E-R, 11G.com. Book available information also at Amazon, at readersmagnet.com. If you go to Gordon's website, information, so much more on the book StormRider, information on The Emma Effect there as well. Our guest is Gordon L. Box Bocher, B-O-C-H-E-R. The book is StormRider, a historical novel based on true events. It's a very, very important book. If you think you remember something about the Vietnam War, your thoughts will change as you read this book and you see it from someone who was who was actually there. Gordon, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. I really enjoyed it. And I wish you and your listeners all the good health in the world.
And same to you. Continue the successful treatment, and we'll get you back here to talk more. The book Storm Rider, a historical novel based on true events. Gordon L. Box Bakker is our guest. Information, of course, on our website, and you can link onto his website. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.